With that, I'm going to introduce Tim P. from the Friday Night Fellowship Group in the wee area of Narcotics Anonymous.
I'm an addict named Tim. I'm nervous. I'd like to thank the committee for taking a chance on an addict like me. I'm just like you. You know, there's nothing special about me or my story, even though sometimes in my head I think there is, you know. I'm just another addict with another day clean. This is kind of overwhelming. It's still like, it never gets any easier. Why is that? You know? It's an honor to be here, you know, and celebrate recovery. And it's an honor to be asked to share at any function. And I don't know why I have this. Because everybody else seemed like they came up with the book, so I figured I'd bring my book too, you know. I still have this need to fit in, you know. I was intending, because my sponsor had said something about reading the 11th step, because I tried to ask some people for suggestions. I've never been a spiritual speaker before, you know. And there's a lot of weight that comes with that. Like, and I said at registration, why don't we call it the closing speaker, the grand finale speaker or something, you know. Because honestly, like I said, I'm just another addict, just like you, you know? And there's nothing special about me that makes me spiritual, and if anybody knows me, they know that, you know? And I'm honored to have some of my, you know, best, closest people here, and it's true. It depends on what day you catch me, how spiritual I might or might not be. And that's the thing too. I wish sometimes I could maintain that spirituality. But like anything else in my recovery, it takes action and practice. There's like no podium either, which is kind of cool. But I'm gonna put this down. I'm just like a I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. You know, I was thinking on the drive up here that, like, I really don't have a whole lot of spiritual knowledge to share, you know, spiritual awakening. I didn't really have no big moment in my early recovery that was a turning point. There, you know, just the fact that I put the first one down was the best thing that ever happened to me, you know? I got to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous by way of an institution. What happened in my life was that, like, I used so much that I didn't know how to stop, you know? And I didn't know anything about, like, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous at that time, or this process of recovery. And through a series of numerous events, like, my back was, I was backed into a corner, and I had to do something. And I knew about this treatment place, you know, on the north side of Pittsburgh. And a friend of mine had gone there a month before, and he got out of there, and he was talking about how they, I met him, I picked him up, I took him there. And after 30 days, I picked him up. And we were at the bar that night, and he was telling me how this just changed his life. That they were having group, and that he wasn't going to use this particular drug anymore, and his marriage was going to be better, and the business that we were in was going to be different, and all this stuff was going to change because he went away to this place for 20 or 30 days. I thought, you know what? There's something to this. Maybe I need to check this out. So I went up there and talked to these people. And meanwhile, in my own sick head, I thought that this was the place that they were going to be able to teach me how to use successfully, the thing I had been trying to do, like, most of my using life. And I went to this place, and much to my surprise, chagrin, whatever, you know, they talked about complete abstinence, you know, not using anything, which was really foreign to me. and I wasn't ready for that, you know. But the important thing is, you know, and this is a reoccurring theme that I've been hearing throughout the weekend here, throughout my time here, is that I heard the message through H&I. There were guys that came into this institution from Narcotics Anonymous. My first experience with this fellowship was through H&I people coming in and getting up in front of a room full of people and sharing, like, some of their stuff. And at that time, I was still skeptical because I didn't think anybody, let alone me, could, like, get clean and stay clean. But you know what? These guys came, like, every, like, Tuesday and Thursday, and there was always the same combination. There was always one or two of the same fellas, you know? And there was something that, like, attracted me. And there was something that they said that, like, you know what it was? It was their spirit. They had this spirit. I was this walking zombie dude out there, a walking person without a spirit, without any, like, life in me. You know, bouncing from the next one to the next one. You know, all the, you know what I'm talking about because you lived it too. And these guys had that little spirit, that spark that was alive. I was so skeptical that, like, I would go up to them, and I've shared this many times, that I'd go up to them after the meeting and try to quiz them, see if I could trip them up, and look in their eyes to see if they were pinned, you know, because they couldn't be getting up in front of a room full of people like that and share about stuff. No way. You know, I couldn't understand this at all. But, you know, they took time, and they showed some concern and some care and some compassion. And that spirit that was alive in them came through in those actions that they showed me, you know? And so I was attracted to this fellowship. Honestly, I don't know a whole hell of a lot of stuff that I learned in that treatment place that I, like, remember or use today. All I remember is the significance of those H&I guys coming in and sharing that stuff with me. When I left there, I did that suggestion, and I got myself to a meeting. And when I went to that meeting, I remember going down into this church basement. And it was right before the holidays. And I didn't really know what to expect. I never have been to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting on my own to that point. You know, they take us in a van and maybe take us to a meeting, and, you know, and it was, you know how that story goes, but you know what? I went to this meeting on my own downstairs in this church basement in Wilkinsburg, and it was the wake-up meeting in Wilkinsburg, and there was a holiday party, and there was somebody dressed like Santa Claus, and there was food, and people just like, and it was like, you know, and it's in the morning, and this is like great, you know, and people were like greeting me at the door and giving me a hug and saying, like, welcome, who are you, you know? And I saw some guys, I saw a table, you know, at this one end of the table, some guys that I knew from out there. And, like, I wasn't sure if I could, like, you know, because I heard people placing, you know, hey, I didn't know how this, I didn't know nothing. But, like, I wasn't sure if I was, like, supposed to talk to them or whatever, you know. I was scared and I was frightened and I, you know. But the one dude came over and greeted me and said, you know, we're glad to see you. We're happy that you made it. And they put some time together. They had, like, a couple months clean time, you know? And it was, like, amazing to see these punks do it, you know? Once again, it was some attraction because if they could do it, so could I, you know? And they told me, like, you know what? You know, we're happy to see you, but you got to get some phone numbers of some other people, you know? Like, they introduced me to a couple of guys there. And then I got some phone numbers, you know. And I didn't just get phone numbers. I started to, like, call people. But you know what? I got to be honest. I'm not, like, I didn't do everything perfect. My first sponsor I got because he was an attorney. I had legal problems. I thought I could get, like, free legal advice, you know. My attorney was charging $200 an hour, and that was too expensive. I didn't know money, you know. So I got this guy, and it was an attorney in the fellowship. How perfect, you know? But that, of course, didn't really work out. But and I still didn't know. I was still trying to, you know. But so that's, you know, that's kind of like my story, like how I got here, you know? And while I was away at that time, listening to these guys, I would look forward to these H&I meetings, you know, because it was something to look forward to. There was something happening there, like I said, that I wanted a piece of this action. You know, it gave me some hope. And I knew somehow in here that, like, I knew that I didn't have to die like I was living, you know? I knew that there was something else I could do. So, you know, I took some suggestions. I did the 90-90 and all that stuff, you know? Formed the foundation. Real important stuff. I hate to say, I feel like I want to, like, take the mic and start, like, walking around like I'm a game show host or something. It's just, it's weird. See where my head goes. You know, I put the drug down, you know. Drugs are only a symptom of my disease. My whole problem is up here today, you know. I don't know about you guys. My whole problem is up here between my ears, you know. And I need help up there. You know, it's I say it all the time at meetings, and you guys, you know, that see me from my area and stuff know that if you were in my head for 24 hours, you wouldn't want to sit by me, you wouldn't want to talk to me, you wouldn't want to claim to be even fucking know me, you know, because it's crazy in there. But the thing is, I don't have to act out on that stuff today. When I got here, too, the important thing that I need to talk about, and that probably the most important thing, one of the most important things for me, is what you guys promised me when I got here, and that was freedom. For years and years and years, I wasn't able to experience freedom. My addiction, the drug, everything was my addiction controlled me. You know, it limited my world. It made my world really, really small. And it also told me, like, what to do, when to do it, where to go, what to blah, 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 you know? And I had no freedom. I couldn't, travel. I couldn't go away for a week. I couldn't do anything. Everything became so small and limited in my world. And when you people promised me that freedom from active addiction, I like that. You know? I mean, I was attracted here, but when I heard that, you know, that made me even, like, desire this more. You know, when I heard that freedom stuff you guys shared about, you know, it fanned my flame of desire. You know? And I wanted to have that, I wanted to experience that. And that's held true for me. I've been able to be free from active addiction since November 28th of 1988, you know, one day at a time. You know, this stuff works. Miracles happen here, you know, if we just stick around, you know, no matter what. No matter what. I just didn't take nothing one day at a time. You know, I asked for help. I did the stuff that, like, was suggested to me. I used the tools that were given to me. You know, and with that freedom comes responsibility. And that's some of the responsibility that, like, I need to take action. My program, my recovery's, I just can't, my recovery's about what I do. It's not what I get. You know, it's always about taking some action and whether I'm willing to do it. You know? We talk about spiritual principles and all that. Everything in my life has become kind of spiritual now. I don't know. There's so much that, like, I've become in tune with, and I don't even, like, realize it all the time, you know? My spirituality, you know, the process of coming to believe, when I initially started to, like, practice the second step, I never realized how important and how big of a part this was going to play in my life. This whole process of coming to believe has just grown and continued to, like, develop along my path of recovery. And it's been a great thing for me, you know? Like I like to say, you know, God brought me here, and you guys brought me back to my God, you know, which is real important in my life today. This is a spiritual journey for me, you know. I think it is for all of us, actually, you know. It's about getting in touch with, like, each other sometimes on a deeper level. You know, we were talking about becoming vulnerable and sharing with other people some of the stuff that I really don't want to share, you know. My up here, my ego sometimes, my, you know, pride, all that stuff that keeps me sick, that keeps me away from God. You know, there's so much sick stuff that, like, I can practice real, very, very well that, like, separates me from the God of my understanding. And when that happens, there's this big, like, valley there. And I'm, you know, where I want to be is here. Where I'm at's over here. And it's, like, far, far away, you know. And I got to take a leap. And sometimes I need to reach out to you people to get there, you know. It's the we thing. It's the unity. This is a unity retreat. You know, I'm from the Wee area. I see a lot of my friends here from there, a lot of my support people, and I love you guys, you know. And it's how we do this, you know. So many things are, like, going through my head, like, you wouldn't believe it. So if I'm, like, jumping around, that's the way it's going to be. It's funny. I went upstairs. There's, like, a little stairway over there, and you know, and upstairs, and there's, like, a landing, and I knelt down to pray. And as I was doing that, like, church people were coming out of there or something, like, with food. And I thought, oh, I was like, and it just, like, kind of interrupted my whole process, you know. And I got a little angry at them. How dare these church people, like, interrupt my praying, you know. And so I came out, you know, I came back down here and I went outside in the back here and kind of like turned it over, you know. But, yeah, it's funny, you know. Yeah, this spiritual journey, you know, is given to me. I have this opportunity to, like, develop spiritually through the process of living and practicing the steps and traditions in my life. By practicing the steps and traditions of my life, I become a little bit of a healthier person, you know? I'm certainly not the guy that I was when I got here, but I'm really not the person that I, like, aspire to be yet, you know? And so on this journey, I still have, like, work to do, you know? I'm not done yet. I haven't arrived, you know? I don't think I ever will, you know? It's a life process for me, you know? Living just for today, you know. Carol and I were talking after this morning's meeting and just recently out on the porch, and how important it is to just live like today and embrace each moment, because I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow, you know. It's so important for me to tell people who are in my life that I love them while I have that opportunity. You know, because you know, a lot of people weren't here, you know, and you know, even though I have some things that I wish I would have done differently, I can learn from those experiences, you know. Yeah, you know what? You don't have to die from this disease, you know. I'm real, like, bothered because. A week ago today, my cousin died from this disease. And denial, so thick, so strong, and so deep that, like, it even drove us away, you know? But we grew up together. We were like brothers. We were like 4 months apart in birth and stuff. And growing up, we did picnics and swimming, all that fun stuff, you know, it's like cousins do. But this disease just separated us. And although he come, you know, and spend summers up here and stuff, he just would never get it. I couldn't. I wish I could take a piece of this sometimes and just implant it in people, you know? But I can't do that. All I can do is maybe just offer something and be an example. And sometimes that's all. You know, it's so important. You know, and I'm probably not the best example every day because I'm not the most spiritual person every day. But it's important for me to be an example of what this program does. Because believe me, people are watching. You know? People, not like they used to, but like people are watching, you know? You know what I mean? Like, funny how things change. Thank God, you know. You know, I think in our communities and our families, all that stuff, people, if they don't know we're in recovery, they see a difference in how we are and how we behave and how we act. You know? And that alone can be an attraction. You know? That stuff is so important. You know, this is all so basic and so simple, I think. I can complicate it real well, you know, up here in my head. You know? Too much sometimes. You know, what does our literature say about, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual, right? You know? And that's something that, like, I like to, like, remember all the time. Because for me, in my life, it holds real true. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, I've been asked to do some things through, like, my work that aren't, like, that would make me compromise, like, my principles. You know, like, to be, you know, oh, just do that and be dishonest. Doesn't matter. Just, it's what we need. Just do it. You know? And today, you know, I'm not willing to, like, do that. It's just something I'm not willing to compromise. And I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I have some integrity today. You know what? I know what it is to be the other way. And I can go there, like, real well if I need to. But I've worked hard to get where I'm at, and I just want to maintain that. You know? And so it's hard for me to, like, compromise and sidestep or whatever. And some of this stuff to other people on the outside or that are my peers may seem very trivial. And they roll their eyes and throw up their hands, you know, and they mouth, yeah. But you know what? I'm just not willing to do that. And I think that's a good thing, you know? Integrity is something that, like, I worked real hard to get here. You know, and I once again, I'm not perfect at it, but I have a little bit of integrity today. And sometimes I expect you all to do it too, you know? And my expectations screw me up lots of times. But if you say you're going to be someplace, be there. You know, if you say you're going to call me, call me. You know, I mean, that's one of my, like, pet peeves. I don't say you're going to do something if you're not going to do it because it's being dishonest. And what's our spiritual principles, those basic ones? Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We talk about that all the time at the meetings. I hear it all the time. You know? And so for me, it's real important to not compromise those things. You know? They all work in tandem. You know? It's real difficult for me to be, like, willing if I'm not being honest and open-minded. You know? And I need to, like, they all kind of, like, work in tandem with, in for me at least, you know? And that's a good thing. This is amazing. You know, we're all clean here, you know? We need to, like, give, you know, I don't think I give myself, I'm my own worst critic. I can be real difficult on myself. And always know, like, what I'm not doing and all that. And I need to, like, give myself credit on a daily basis. Years ago, a guy was my sponsor, told me every night I need to, like, pick out something good that I did in that day and, like, recognize it. And believe me, some days it was, like, stretching, you know, like, I didn't use today, you know. And some days that's all it was. But you know what? That was good. Because not using, you know, that freedom that comes, all that stuff, by not taking nothing one day at a time makes all this other stuff in my life possible. You know? I have that freedom of choice. I've been able to have some dreams awaken. You know, I've been able to experience a life full of freedom and love and doing what I, like, really want to do sometimes. You know? I'm only limited by my own self. And sometimes that's a bad place to be. But when I'm willing to, like, share and ask for help and reach out to people who genuinely know me and share what's really, like, the exact nature going on in here, you know, I find some solutions. I really do. I really do. My spirit's alive today. I have a passion for this. I have a passion for Narcotics Anonymous. It saved my life. It saved your life. You know what? I owe a great debt to this fellowship. And this is only one small way which I can repay what has been like so much has been given to me over the years. And people who put up with me and tolerated me and all practiced their spiritual principles in dealing with me. And still today, you know? Still today, right? You know? Yeah. I'm not an easy person all the time. I can be very difficult, you know? But these spiritual principles keep us connected, you know? We have, through empathy and knowing, you know, how each other feel on a deep, deep level, you know, it keeps us connected. We need to, like, support each other and love each other and keep each other here, you know, not drive each other out of here. You know, I've seen people laughed out of rooms. It makes me sad to be a member, you know. When I see stuff like that happen, I need to talk to those people who were doing it, you know. And I'm, you know, I do that to the best of my ability, you know. There's some controversies going on now, and I'm going to uphold what I feel is best for this fellowship, no matter what. No matter what. You know, it all goes back to looking at the steps and traditions. It's very simple. Everything that's just like outlined, it's all in black and white in our basic text, you know. All that stuff. All I need to know how to stay clean is in the basic text. You know, we have those other books too that are wonderful. But there's so many books now. I mean, that's wonderful, but I get confused. I keep it simple, you know. If it helps you, that's wonderful. But anyways, sounds cool. Yeah. My spirit's alive. You know what? It's up to me, too, to, like, nurture that spirit in new people. Not only new people, and people who are struggling. You know? Sometimes the most important person at any meeting isn't always the newcomer. You know, sometimes I'm the still suffering addict that needs, like, a hug. You know what? That meeting that I was telling you about, my first meeting in Wilkinsburg, the wake-up, when I went there and got those hugs, it meant a lot to me, because I remember that. That was a long time ago. But I remember that. You know, and it's important for me to go to meetings and get a hug. I like to go to a meeting and be greeted. You know, we've gotten away from that in my area. I don't know if we're too busy or too important or what. You know, I do to the best of my ability in my home group to try to get out there in the foyer and try to greet people. You know, and that's all I can do is be an example. You know, but somehow we've gotten away from some of that basic stuff. To like help to, you know, keep me here. You know? Early on, man, I needed those hugs. You know? It's what sticks with me too, some of that. You know? Yeah. Living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Freedom. All that stuff. So cool. So cool. You know what? Practicing the 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening through all these steps. Carrying the message, you know. We can all do that, you know, in some fashion, I think. You know, we're all like carrying the message. Like I said earlier, you know, people are like watching us no matter what, you know. And we can be an example to the newcomer, to somebody that's like struggling in the meetings. It's up to us to like reach out and try to offer help. I get so like, I can get real comfortable in my clique. And do like that like thing and just stay with the people I want to stay with and talk about what's going on, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I need to like go across the room and reach out to that new person. You know? I'm not one to like put my phone number on that piece of paper that goes around. You know, at some of the meetings I attend, we do that. And that's, I get opinionated, I'm sorry, but that's just, you know, how I am. But, when I was new, if I got a list of 50 people's names and phone numbers, I wouldn't know who the hell these people are. You know? And which one's the good Tim and which one's the bad Tim? I don't know. You know? You know? We have multiple names. Anyways, it's just like, so what I do is I go over and say, hi, I'm Tim. Would you like my phone number? You know? You make an effort. Show them that, like, they're worth it. You know? passing the paper, this mass-produced cafeteria, whatever you want to call it, just isn't my style. I don't know. But I'm going to try not to go there too much. I can go, you know. Yeah. See, though, you know, I have a passion. You know, my spirit's alive. This is what I'm talking about. It's the stuff that works for me, you know. And thousands and thousands of other people, you know, celebrating recovery. This is, you know, our fellowship is, I remember, where's John? When, John, 10 years ago, there was maybe 50 people here, you think? If that, huh? You know, and I look at how many, when I pulled in, I came like the wrong way here, or the different way that I came. I came in like that road up or wherever, and there was like all these tents. I saw these colored tents and stuff, and I thought, wow, this is I didn't think it was the right place, because I just never expected to see so many tents here. You know, this event alone has grown tremendously, which is wonderful, you know. But still, I kind of missed that, like, initial, that 10 years ago when we were here, we were upstairs in that room, and it was hot and crowded, and there was 50 of us up there, and the message was wonderful and all that, but like, you know what, it was real intimate, you know? There are people here that like, I probably haven't even met, you know? But like when we were small, we all knew each other, and it was like real, like, different then. You know, we were able to share and get involved in each other's lives a little bit more. Now it's, you know, we're so big, you know, but it's like growing. I guess that's good, you know. You know, a bunch of spirits are alive and spreading this fan in the flame, you know. That's what this is about, too. Yeah, it's a worldwide fellowship, you know. I was, you know, in Hawaii last year around this time, and just to see people from other countries, you know, doing this stuff, you know, and Iran, you know, in places that like, they used to like kill addicts, you know, they're having meetings and staying like alive and staying clean. It's like, it's a miracle what's happening. There's, you know, I heard that shared this weekend, that there's no place else, no other group, no other like organization that does the stuff that we do. You know, treatment centers don't have the answer. They send them to us in vans and, you know, they don't know. It's true. You know, we have the answer here. You know, this is it's up to us to fan that flame of desire. I know. I feel like I'm done now, so I'm like, okay. So I'm going to close, I guess. I hope I... you know what? Like, share your love, you know? Like, I got some love, and I've been able to give and receive love through my process of recovery. You know, I'm not that cold, mask-wearing... Usually not. mask-wearing. You know what? I can be genuine. I can be myself today. You know, if you like me, it's okay. If you don't, it's okay, too. You know, I used to be the kind of person that there'd be like 20 people in the room that loved me, and there's that one person that hated me, and I'd trip over myself trying to get that person to like me. Today, it doesn't matter, you know. It's just the way it is. You know, although I like to be liked by everybody, it's just not the way it's going to be. And so I practice acceptance and tolerance and spiritual principles such as that. You know, I can practice forgiveness, and just because I forgive you doesn't mean I'm going to be like embracing you and be your best friend. You know, I forgive because I needed to do it for me sometimes too. You know, not for you. I've learned so much since I've been here. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it continues to go on. You know, if you got somebody in your life that you haven't said how you feel about them, let them know that today. You know, let them know that today. Let people know that, like, you love them. You know, let people know that you care about them. You know, try to, like, reach out to the new people to come to your meetings. And the people that have been there for a time that might be struggling. You know, all that stuff's real important. I'd like to thank you all for just being here and supporting me. It means a lot to me. If you didn't hear what you need to hear, go to a meeting tonight. Because there's one in your neighborhood, wherever you're going back to. You know, there's a lot of people from a lot of places here celebrating unity. You know, take what you learned and take it back and put it into action back where you, wherever you come from. You know, because we need that stuff. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.